Ironclad is an old city dating back to before the founding of the Galen Empire, or what is now known as the Shattered Empire. Originally a trade port, it became the center of power when merchant vessels started sailing up and down the coastline. From there, dwarven homesteads started selling their blacksmith goods, and neighboring settlements and towns started coming to do trade within the city. What is now known as the Market District is where the original town of Ironclad was located, and over the years the town grew into a city. When the Emperor shattered the land and the war started in earnest, a large majority of the free peoples came to seek shelter in Ironclad from the war. The governor at the time, Lord Talik Sprocket, a gnome accountant and tinkerer, called upon his allies in the merchant fleet to bring mercenaries from the scattered isles and the Sea of Ice to help defend the city in exchange for land and a place to call home. Where the mercenary camp set up is what would become the separate districts. Though they technically governed themselves, they did pledge loyalty to Sprocket, who still had control over the major trade ports within the city. After the lands were divided up between the free peoples of the Galen, the mercenaries of the Scattered Isles, and the mercenaries from the Sea of Ice, fortifications began to take shape. The dwarves in the barren hills constructed the seven-story walls, while the elves, from what is now known as the Burning Woods, imbued them with magic during their construction to withstand the inevitable assault. Such a large gathering of people did not go unnoticed. If it weren't for the magic imbued within the walls, the dragons would have laid waste to the city. But thankfully, with that, and the help of the mages allied with Komar, they withstood the assault. Sadly, dragons were not the only threat to the city. There were still mages and company of armsmen that stood with the now crumbling Galen Empire and saw the city as a blight and a possible new location to control. The end of the war saw the rise of the Ironclad Regency and the capital of the Shattered Empire. Ironclad is a massive city, and it is split up between 11 districts. Hillcrest, the Arcane District, Redeemer, Seabreeze, Merchant District, the Crowls, the Narrows, Marchcrest, West Row, Central, Riverview, Willows, and basically a 12th district all unto itself, the High Wall. These districts are basically many cities, many towns. Each one is controlled by a separate viceroy, who all report to Ginrig Firesteel, who is the current regent of Ironclad. The regency does not pass through blood or anything like that. It is actually an elected position. I hope this sheds at least a little light on the city known as Ironclad.
There was a time when dragons ruled the sky.
It is a little bit after 1 a.m. You guys have spent quite a bit of time in a nice little brothel in the Crowls called Lush. It's been a pretty slow evening. A couple of drinks at the bar, maybe, you know, a friend or two here or there. What would you guys be doing? The place is kind of getting ready to unofficially close down, except for those that are going to be spending the night.
Probably getting a few more rounds to get down before we leave.
Yeah, I would assume so. Trying to figure out if where exactly we're going to sleep, whether it be here or somewhere else.
So that, there's a little gnome behind the counter. You can kind of see that the bar is a little different. There's a little ledge back there that he just kind of runs across doing drinks. He's got this nice, almost like suit jacket, but it looks like it could fit a teddy bear. He's a little smaller on the gnome side. I'm a last call, gents.
Yeah, I'll take just 3 rounds of your cheapest crap.
The house special. Got it.
Same here.
6 coming up. And he's just going to go ahead and get a couple of glasses down. He's not going to get 6 small glasses. He's going to go ahead and get you guys a couple of like taller glasses and just pour what looks to be about maybe 3-4 shots in each one. Going to slide them across, and he's just going to look at you. His hand's still kind of on both of them.
8 silver for these. Your tab. Let's face it. Are you paying your tab today or no?
Can we just push it out till tomorrow? We got a job coming up. We'll square up, I promise.
Fine.
You're a good man. Good man.
I take that as an insult. But yeah.
He's just gonna let go of the glasses and
tomorrow I expect you both here when we open. I'm not quite sure when that's going to be yet. Depends on how my night is.
And he's just gonna walk back down the bar.
He's gonna kinda hold it up.
I hold one up. Dink.
Cheers, man.
Yep.
Dink it and sank it.
Very unserious moment. Very unceremoniously, that's the word. Just down the whole thing.
You're going to feel a hand grasp both of your shoulders, and this face is going to come between the two of you.
I grab the hand.
Easy now, boys. Are you sure that much is good before tonight?
I just ignore him.
Yeah, I'll just kind of do in kind and kind of like... Kind of shove him off my shoulder, just kind of do a shrug and kind of like down the last little bit of my drink.
He's going to sit down, and this guy looks to be a bit older. He's a tiefling, kind of horns curl back, dark, slick black hair, nice little goatee, wearing nice but not overly extravagant clothes. He's kind of just going to raise his hand a bit. And the little gnome, Frederick, is going to all back up and just nod to your all's glasses. And going to do the same thing. Pour about 3-4 shots in one and slide it to him. And you can see he's just going to flick a gold coin kind of across the bar. Gnome's going to grab it, just nod. He's going to down it back.
I got a lead from Dagger, if you two are interested.
Kind of look over at Jensen and, you know, kind of make eye contact. Kind of do like, what do you think? Just like,
I'm just going to pick up my empty coin pouch and kind of put it on the table.
What do you got in mind?
Merchandise we thought that was going to be moving later this week has been moved up. Not quite sure why. Don't really give a fuck. Problem is that it's moving tomorrow morning. We need you to do a smash and grab.
I hate smash and grabs.
On the bright side, I need you to also take out 2 people of interest.
Speaking more of my language now.
I figured as might.
What's the merchandise?
It's a barrel. Inside ingredients for a few, let's just say Dust would be a little more interested in this, but due to the assassination that we need for this, it's been pushed down to you lot.
And the pay?
Straight to the point. The pay for this, for the assassination and the theft, 300 gold each.
Can I do another one of the looks at Jensen?
I just nod. That'll pay for half of our tab here.
And you can kind of see Frederick at the end just kind of nod his head and go back to, it seems like he has this large notebook that he's kind of just writing in. And there's like a section that's just clipped. You can kind of just see on it J and H out of the corner of your eye. You guys have quite the tab tallied up here.
In terms of the two persons of interest, I'll toss in an extra 100 gold each if you just don't ask any questions. Understand?
Works for me.
The location is a safe house for the Winged Shield. You're going to be taking out two of their more prominent members, taking the barrel and getting out of there.
Seems easy enough, I guess. And we get to kill Winged Shield. It's always a benefit.
There's some craziness happening further up north that a large collection of them are heading up there. The fancy-ass airships left about 2-3 hours ago. So a large collection of them are gone, as with the Grey Cloaks. There hasn't been a movement like this in probably 3-4 decades. This is the most they've ever been open.
He's going to slide a little pouch across the bar.
If anything happens, take these. You know what to do.
Yes, sir.
Inside, you also find relative instructions as to the location and descriptions of the individuals. I'll see you guys in a few hours.
You have a good morning now.
You as well.
I guess he's going to flick another gold across the bar, and Frederick, just at the corner of his eye, is going to catch it and pocket this one instead of putting it in the register like he has the others.
I'm going to grab the pouch and read what was inside of it.
In the pouch is a small little scroll, just like a little unwound parchment. Normally, the Winged Shield is based out of the Arcane District. It's where the Grey Cloaks are. It's kind of where they stay. However, this is actually a place in the Merchant District, which seems a little odd, but it's pointing you to a small little shop. You guys have heard stories about it from time to time. It seems to be not a front for you guys, but it's more of a cabal location out of the Narrows. Your rivals, per se. Kind of explains the layout of the building. It's a nice little sketch. Whoever was there took a great detail of jotting down all the information. The barrel that you're after is on the fourth floor. They're not sure about guards. Description of the two individuals. Apparently, these are the guys that are looking after it. They seem to be lieutenants for the Winged Shield. Now, further down, as you unravel the last bit, you'll see that there are two. It's got a little bit of a powdery substance, but it's a nice, compact, almost pill shape. You know what this is. This is,
if we get caught,
pill. Yeah. If you get caught, you take the pill. Yeah. You know this is Death Blossom. You take this and all your problems are over. What would you guys like to do?
Well, he said it needs to be done by morning, right? So
correct.
It's like one.
It's a little after one. It's starting to get a little bit into fall. So morning, you know, daybreak won't be till probably about 7:30, 8 a.m.
Well, pal, what do you think? You want to wait or go do it now when they're probably more so asleep?
Well, let's go now. See what we can stake out.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Now, are you guys normally? Do you normally carry all of your gear, or do you? Well, I guess for Jensen, some of your gear is a little bit attached to you. Would you guys actually like to go ahead and describe yourselves?
Jensen is relatively short for a wood elf, maybe 5.5 feet, 5'4". He's got short black hair, and he can usually be seen with either one of his handfold sticks of tobacco or a drink in his hand. I would say, to answer your question, John, I think most of my equipment I have on me. Anything I can't hide in a waistband probably doesn't come with me.
Helen is a drow, so he pretty much, dark skin, whiter / silverish kind of hair. He keeps it kind of short, though. Not, longer, like a lot of elves do. And he's about 6'3", a little bit taller for a drow. But he, as far as, his equipment, the only thing he really carries on him is a bow and a quiver. But the quiver only has 2 arrows at any given time. So he packs light.
Cool. So do you guys need to get anything? The headquarters for the syndicate is not all that far from Lush. It's pretty much around the corner. The roads, the streets of the Crowls district is a little bit downslope. Everything kind of just runs downhill here. So the streets are not tight, not nearly as tight as the Narrows are, but decently tallish buildings is kind of the standard layout of this district. So it's probably about a 10-minute walk to what is the front for the headquarters of the syndicate.
I don't need anything. Okay. Do you?
I'm going to take a crowbar with. I have my pack of stuff that I start with, but probably don't carry it with me all the time. I'm going to take a crowbar with me, and you know what? I'm just going to take the pack with me. I think that's going to be useful on this. Make sure I have my rope, my bittens, hammer, crowbar.
Now, Jensen, on your... Is it right or left wrist?
Left.
Left wrist. You have a... Almost like a bracelet of stone. I'd say from your wrist, it's probably going up your arm maybe about an inch. And on the palm of your hand is come up and probably has wrapped around your thumb. And it is just... It looks like solid stone, but it is quite flexible. So just to give you an idea about where that stands.
Yeah, so I guess we're just going to head to the Arcane District and... Or the Market District, rather. And go scout out this... this shop, see about just doing a smash and grab middle of the night, killing some dudes.
The outside air is salty. The city of Ironclad is right on the sea. A good 3/4 of the city is surrounded by a massive 7-story wall. And you can kind of see out in the distance, people kind of walking on it. Those guards. On the other direction, you kind of see little small towers in the ocean. They didn't complete the wall fully on that side, but it's a good portion of it is. And the city has a large, almost river coming through the very center of it. So different districts are separated by the river. A lot of the docks are on the river itself. Salt water is just going to fill your nostrils. And being kind of on the lower side of town, you're going to also smell a good bit of trash and shit. You're in one of the 2 poorest districts in Ironclad. The other, of course, being the Narrows, which is literally directly beside the Crowls. Now, the Merchant District is... The pens, are you guys... How are you guys going to get there? Do you want to take surface streets? Rooftops? Trying to take a sewer network? Completely up to you.
Being the class that I am, I probably like to stick up top. Rooftops, if I can. Since, everything's kind of close together. But depending on what Jensen wants, we can do the sewer network.
Also, as a common knowledge, sorry, I forgot to mention it. Common knowledge is that people who have been going down to the sewers lately have basically had about 40% chance of not coming back out in certain areas. No one's really investigated it yet. The guards don't really care. It's been sticking mainly towards the Crows and Narrows and Marshcrest. Those three districts have kind of been having a bit of issues in regards to people exploring the sewers.
I'll probably just stick to rooftops then.
A good majority of the buildings here in the Crows have, you know, not quite fire escapes, but ladders on the sides of buildings. People know what they're there for. No one really moves them. As you guys get up top, you can pretty much see the entirety of Ironclad. The angle's a little off because you guys are a little bit more lower in elevation, but you can make out the tops of the different districts, especially up in Hillcrest far north. You can kind of see the moonlight glisten off of their metal roofs. You can definitely see the Tower of the Arcanum. It stretches a good 12, 15 stories into the air, kind of a crooked tower reaching up into the sky. It will probably take you both maybe 45 minutes to get from where you are to around the right area in the merchant district while trying to stay stealthy. If you could both actually roll me a stealth check, technically the first rolls of Arc 2, unofficially.
That is a 14.
I have a 17.
Nice. So yeah, you guys are doing fine on the rooftops, sneaking your way. You can kind of go around chimneys, over a few balconies. A lot of the places are tight together, but you're coming up on kind of the gap where one district goes into the next. There's not an easy way to do this, but there is probably a good 20-foot gap between the rooftop you're on currently and the rooftop of the next district.
If we're just seen walking around acting like normal people, how would that register on like guards and stuff? Like, do we stick out bad or?
Not horribly. You guys stick to the shadows and alleys. You probably have a better chance of not being seen. And this time of night, two guys out and about. Are you guys wearing cloaks by any chance or?
I mean, I have just like kind of basic kind of leather armor, not to like completely rip it off, but basically think the Thieves Guild from Skyrim.
Nice, nice, kind of nice.
Based off that kind of black leather armor. And that's probably just what I wear out and about because I figure in a big town like this, I mean, that's probably pretty common for people to walk around in. So
I'm probably just got like common clothes and maybe a traveler's hood.
Okay. So you guys won't stick out horribly, but people might, you have a higher chance of probably getting stopped by a guard if you come across one, if you're seen out on the main streets. But the next district, like I said, the Crows and the Narrows are pretty close together. There's two ways you guys can go. You can either try and jump this cross into what is the Redeemer district, the kind of temple district. Or you can get down the ground and take a couple streets through the Narrows to make it your way north to the Market District.
Yeah, we can do that. Okay, let's go through the Narrows. Is either way shorter of a distance?
Not really. Either one just has its their own issues.
Which one are we like more likely to get stopped in?
If you go through the Narrows, there's always a chance you could run into the Cabal. If you stick to the Redeemer District, there's always a chance you could run the guards.
We can kill Cabal. Guards ask questions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We're going to go through the Narrows.
Go through the Narrows? Okay.
If we run into some Cabals, we'll just kill them.
This week's episode is brought to you in part by Easy Roller Dice. They are a great customer-focused tabletop gaming company specializing in products from gamers, educators, and all other professions. They have a full collection of beautifully crafted dice, as well as a whole inventory of great gaming materials to suit your every gaming need. Go on over to their website and check out their full list of amazing products, and while you're there, add something to your cart, because our listeners are receiving a special 15% off discount code when you enter DDP15 at checkout. That's DDP as in Do or Dice Podcast 15 at checkout to receive 15% off your entire order. So, as always, thanks a bunch to Easy Roller Dice, and thanks to you guys for listening, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Hey guys, it's John, your friendly neighborhood dungeon master. I just want to take a moment real quick and talk to you guys about Fantasy Grounds. They are a fantastic program you can use in your computer to game with those friends you have that might not be as close as you prefer. If you and your friends can't sit around a table together, Fantasy Grounds is by far the best alternative to it. The day a module for Dungeons & Dragons drops in your friendly local gaming store, it drops on Fantasy Grounds. And the ease to add your own content is a breeze. Thanks for listening, guys. Now back to the show.
To the people of Agmonesta, hear me. I have been advised by the Holy Order of Thaum that new adventuring gear is available to all who may be in need. Wormwood Gaming, founded by a small troop of artisans, has released a series of gaming towers, trays, vaults, and other accessories to ensure that your roles stay true and any equipment secure from Fae or any other dark influences that stalk the night. If you decide to take up the cause, use the code DOORDICE at checkout to gain free shipping anywhere within the United States.
You kind of notice on this particular rooftop out on like what would be the back towards an alley, there is no ladder but a rope.
Okay, slide down the rope.
Yeah, you guys know, yeah, definitely the Krause has a lot more roof access than a lot of the other districts.
Before Helen goes down the rope, I check it to make sure it's in there tight.
Oh yeah, I always forget about doing that.
It is a little loose.
I'm going to take my hammer and kind of like just with one quick strike, try to jam it back in.
Yeah, you manage to get whatever mechanism this is that holds the rope. You can kind of...
into like the building or something.
Yeah, it basically is. You kind of slam it in and it kind of seats itself back in. You kind of see maybe... Give me a strength check real quick.
Yeah, it's a 3.
That is actually good for this. You hit it in just enough to sink it, but not enough to widen the hole. So it is nice and seated well.
That's what she said.
The jokes won't stop. The character can change, but the jokes won't stop.
Yeah, basically. So you guys going down?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Slide on down and walk proudly through the streets, flipping everybody off.
I don't know about that one.
Fuck you.
Are you guys going to
stick to the shadows?
Are you guys going to stick to alleyways or main streets for the narrows?
I feel like in the shadier part of town, like the alleyways would be more dangerous because that's where all the shit goes down. So maybe like just staying on the main streets is probably the best option.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there like some identifying mark that we're part of the syndicate versus the Krauls?
Versus the Cabal, Cabal? New World, basically, almost. On the outside, not really. Everyone kind of, if you're of the Rook level, you kind of know who the other full-time members are. Freelancers, not quite so much here and there. Pretty much, if you're a full-time member, they brand you.
Okay.
Just like on the inside of your upper arm so that you can still wear, you know, short sleeves and have it not be completely shown. But it is pretty much a very stylized king chess piece. It's kind of what a mark and symbol of the syndicate. So that is kind of so your mark is kind of hidden. If you come across someone you're not sure, normally there is a kind of traditional grasp hands, lift up each other's sleeves to see who you are. Because the Cabal's they have a similar kind of branding, but you can kind of tell who. Yeah, so some of you guys, if you're depending on what district you're in, you kind of know who's gonna be in there. There's not really a good chance that a member of the Cabal could be in the Crowls, or normally not a member of the Syndicate in the Narrows.
Okay, so there's no way for them to like just know at a glance that maybe we're Syndicate, not Cabal. We have to get intimate.
Exactly. There's no way. Yep, pretty much. And when you get intimate, there's a higher chance of being stabbed in the stabbed in the chest.
For them, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we should just walk the main roads.
As you guys walk the main roads, you can kind of see every so often there's a basically a lamppost. It's not fire. It's what looks to be a light yellow crystal embedded at the top of each post that gives off a decent amount of light. It's a kind of a nice light, warm kind of light. So the streets are decently well lit. You can kind of see along every so often, maybe one or two crystals might be bashed, and there'll be a stretch of just darker areas in the Narrows. Some of these are outside of a few shops here and there, but nothing really out of the ordinary. There is really very little guard presence in this area. However, as you guys take a corner, you're not quite sure whether he's homeless or what, but you'll see there's a kind of a half-orc sitting on the other side of a building corner. And when he sees you, he's just going to kind of shake his cup, and you can kind of hear the rattling of a few pieces of the copper.
Can you spare a few coins?
No. And just keep walking. Fuck that guy.
He's going to shake it about three more times, and you can kind of... one of you roll me a perception check.
13.
It seems like he's shaking it in a rhythm. Then kind of across diagonally, you're going to see about maybe three guys come out.
No. You're supposed to spread the wealth. Certainly there's a coin or two you can give this poor, poor man.
It's hard to make out anything other than these short kind of cloaks they're wearing. Hoods are up. You can kind of see the swish of one of them, one of the three, has a swish of a tail. It doesn't look scaly, so you know he's not tiefling. It looks like it could be a tabaxi.
Fucking pussies. Hey, Jensen, I'm pretty sure that these guys want to rob us.
I've got bad news for them. I've got nothing to rob.
I love your enthusiasm, buddy. We, make this real easy on you guys. We don't have any money.
I'll literally throw the dude my coin purse, like throw it at his cup. There's nothing in there.
He's kind of going to take it in.
But he's right. It's a nice leather, though. Oh, jeez, it smells like shit, though.
No, I don't want it back. He can just keep it.
Why are you so stinky, Jensen?
I get drunk and I sleep in a hole.
So do I, but I bathe. So, can we be on our way, or do we have to kill you? Don't make this. I've had a long night. I have to work early in the morning. Can we just let us go?
So one of them, you can't see his face, but you can tell by the tail that one of the tabaxi is kind of coming around slowly.
That's a nice quiver you have there. Silas, yes, I'd like the quiver.
Before he can finish that sentence, I'm just going to pull out an arrow and fire it at him.
Roll me a dex check.
Hey, that's what I'm good at. Nope, 23 on a dex.
So your bow,
right,
is not quite normal looking. I didn't tell you this yet because I wanted to surprise you.
Oh.
It bends. It kind of folds down. The strings on it kind of rotate, so it kind of sucks it in so you can't get it caught. But pretty much you kind of keep it on like your thigh and grab the handle. And as you pull it up, it clicks against the holster. It unravels, basically. The sides kind of pop out into place. And then that motion kind of just lets the spinning for the pull for the drawstring to pop back. So you manage to pull this up, and as you do it, it kind of just, you know, readies itself. So it's that full draw as you pull the arrow back and fire. Yeah, that. Go ahead and roll me a. You already hit. You hit. This was your hit. Go ahead and roll me an attack on this guy.
I'll just do a normal attack. That's a 28 attack.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
28 to attack.
Yeah. That, I think, might be the highest roll we have had in Do or Dice history. So.
Just as an extra fuck you, I'm going to make that a bursting arrow. So it's an extra 2d6 force damage to him and everybody in a 10-foot radius.
That's actually fucking great.
with no save.
So, yeah, I'd say Bandit 2 is the one that you just hit with the arrow.
With 18 points of damage.
Wait, fucking seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mother.
Because it's the 1d8 for the arrow hit, and I used a magic arrow. And I'll go ahead and actually do an action surge to take another action on top of that. And do another bursting arrow on that guy.
On that same guy?
Yeah.
Oh no, the first one, when you hit him with the first arrow, yeah, it took him right in the jugular. Dude's down. Dude is out.
Wait, yeah. Okay, I didn't see that he was dying.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I'm just going to stop there then.
Okay.
And let them kind of process the fact that I just blew this dude's neck in half. Can we stop this, or do we need to keep going, guys?
You killed Eddie.
He's just going to look at you and kind of see the orc, the half-orc guy that was kind of sitting with the coin cup.
Show him. He's just going to lift his sleeve back.
You can kind of see his has just, it's like two skulls looking at each other. And that's pretty much the symbol of the cabal. Oh. It's just two facing skulls.
Okay. Whatever.
Fuck those guys.
I'm gonna turn to Ellen and I'm gonna mimic the guy and go show him and lift up mine. And then I'm gonna go over there and punch him.
Go for it.
18 to hit.
Oh yeah. That's gonna hit.
9 points of damage.
9 points of damage, and you're going after
whichever guy was like, show him. Like, he's a big deal.
Okay, yeah, that's that.
Show him. Fuck you.
So that was towards the half orc guy. So as you kind of like hit him,
I hit him in the
where'd
gut,
you hit him exactly?
Like, as I hit him in the gut, I make sure that I have my sleeve rolled up enough so that he can see mine.
Get him, boys! Get him!
Get him, man!
You guys go ahead and roll initiative. We kind of forgot that part.
It's been a little
in fluid. All the excitement. It has been a little fluid.
15.
22.
Sweet. Okay, so... Bandit 1, the kind of guy that started all this off when he came around the corner, He's just going to pick up a, he's got like a crossbow on his side. He's going to fire it right at Helen. And that is a 22 as this crossbow bolt is going to hit you right in the shoulder.
Ah, you bitch.
Oh, shit. And that is 9 points of damage.
Jesus.
Jensen, after you punch this guy in the gut, he's going to like bend down a little bit just from the impact. And then he's going to kind of swing his... The sleeve he didn't pull up, he's going to toss it aside, and this dagger is going to jettison from underneath his sleeve. He's going to grab the hilt of it and plunge it down to your aiming at least for your bicep. The first one is going to miss, and as he tries to do it on a backswing, that one's going to hit with a 23 as he kind of slices across your arm for 6 points of damage. This guy's going to try the third banjo, another tabaxi, is going to pull out his crossbow as well and miss Helen completely. Helen, it's your turn.
I'm going to shoot at Bandit 1 just because he's the one that hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do an attack, just a regular attack with my longbow with a 22 to hit.
That's going to hit.
And then 7 or 12 damage, rather. And then on my action surge and actually hit him and do another attack this round. And with a 22 to hit.
Yep.
And a 10 damage. And to shoot him once in one eye and then once in the other.
Yeah, it's drop him. He's just going to fall back. Crossbow's going to drop to the floor. Crossbow's going to drop to the ground. It's a little clatter. He's just going to fall back with the two arrows sticking right up. Then as you kind of turn back around, you're going to see there's the first arrow you shot the guy with is going to vanish, and your quiver is just going to hear a little ping as it seems like metal is striking metal.
Okay.
And boom, there's another arrow in your quiver.
Oh, I gotta love that quiver.
Jensen, it is your turn.
I just cut my bicep. I'm going to stab him with a 26.
I'm going to go ahead and
use my multi-attack, stab him the second time now. 16 still hit?
Yes, both those will hit.
Nice.
It's going to be 8 points of damage on the first hit.
Okay.
And then on the second one, 11.
So, yeah, no, that last one, you've got them kind of just across a major vein. Because you used the dagger, right? Yeah. Right across the major vein, and he dropped his dagger and went to go clutch it. And you can see he's just going to get a little woozy, and guy's just going to fall back. Now, the last guy, he's just going to drop his crossbow, put his hands up.
I don't want any trouble. If it's okay with you, I'm just going to walk away.
And he's like, hold on. He's going to reach in. You can kind of see he's just going to start slapping his side. And you're going to hear a bit jingle in his pocket.
I'll give you my pouch. You let me go.
Kind of side-eye Jensen, that what do you think look that we have?
I turn to like look at him. Look at Helen. And with the eye that's not showing to the goon over here, I wink. And then I hold my hand out for the pouch.
Okay, good, good. And he's just going to pull it out and just underhand toss it to you. And he's just going to slowly start backstepping away.
I'm going to pull an arrow out and I'm going to shoot it.
All right. Give me a quick dex check.
Dex check.
Oh!
20.
He got a 20 to like, get into a run. I'd say that as he turns to run, you've got him. You just right through the back of the neck.
Oh, so good.
And dude just stiffens, kind of trips a little bit, falls down. As he hits, he whacks his head on the cobblestone. Dude is out.
Yes.
Are we bad people, Jensen? Okay. Just checking to make sure. I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to go over to the other bandits and get those coin purses.
You know what? I was waiting
if they
for
have anything.
You can do that. I'm looking to see if any of the noise we made is drawing attention.
Real quick, Jensen, roll me a perception check.
11.
So, Helen, as you're going through, you know, everything, you probably find at least three pouches. The bigger guy didn't carry one on him because, you know, he was, you know, clinking for change. As you check out his cup, though, you see that it's not actually coins in there. It's a couple of metal teeth. Yeah, it's a little weird. But the amount of gold you guys find is probably about 7 gold coins. Not a lot. One of the guys, the guy that was kind of heading up this little, you know, checkpoint, per se, has a kind of a folded note in one of his pockets. Are you grabbing that as well?
Oh, yeah. I love notes.
Love notes.
Love notes. Pretty much the gist of it is 3 more went down today. None of them came back. What is down there? And big question mark.
Seems that we're not the only ones worried about the sewer monster. Kind of show Jensen the note. Hmm. Eventually, I think we're going to have to check that out.
Only if they pay us.
Fair enough.
I mean, yeah.
We should probably get going then. Before someone stumbles upon us.
After a second, you're going to hear 2 more pings in your quiver as 2 more arrowheads hit the bottom plate. And you look back and all the arrows are gone. However, there's still a crossbow bolt in your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Could you pull that out, Jensen? You know I hate blood. Kind of like look, I kind of look up and like kind of squeeze my eyes shut.
Yank it out.
Oh, son of a bitch. Feels good. It's going to kind of, I guess, let's see. Not that medicine is my greatest skill. That's a 20 to be a 22 on a medicine check to kind of field patch myself up.
Yeah, you've got a couple of, you have like this little pouch on your side with a couple of like herbs and just a surprisingly clean white cloth. So you manage to like take the herbs, kind of chew on them a little bit, kind of spit out, and just shove it on the wound and just pressure wrap it real quick. You've done this enough times, you can kind of do this one-handed.
And we move.
When dragons